This week's Sedra,
Tazria and Mitzora, brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Luli Nishmas Yaakov Yitzchak Rav Chaim. The person speaks Lashon Hara is punished with the punishment of Tzaras, leprosy. And in Parshas Mitzora we find the process in which he goes through in order to receive his Tahara. And included in this process, we find three things. One, kibus begadim, so he has to wash his clothes. Second is giluach sear, he has to cut his hair. And lastly, tefillah b'mayim, he has to go inside a mikvah. So the Ben Ish Chai says, we learn from here that when one wants to do tshuva and purify himself from any of his sins, he has to pay attention to these three areas. Washing clothes, the idea of the hair, and tefillah in a mikvah. Agav, this is, as an aside, Legabe Tshuva, we're speaking about here, it's an interesting idea to make it real to us. There was once a man came to Rav Nisim, Zatzal, and was very worried that he was shaking. And he came to Rav Nisim and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, what's wrong? He said, well, I took out a loan from the bank for $200,000. And for business purposes. And at first, everything was going fine. I was making the payments, but some things took a turn for the worse. My payments were not going through, and I wasn't paying off the monthly payments. And what happens when you take a loan from the bank and you don't pay the payments? You start having to pay interest. And the interest payments kept doubling and tripling and compounding. To make a long story short, Rabbi, what started off to be a loan of $200,000 is now close to $1 million. And I don't know what I'm going to do. He says they're taking away, threatening to take away everything, my house, my business, my life's not a life. His wife was standing there, and she says, Rabbi, you don't understand. He says, my husband, he said he's not betafked, he's not acting normally, he can't function. He's just lying in bed all day, he's depressed. Because of that, he's not working, he's not even making making progress to pay anything back, and it's a terrible matzav. So, Nisim said, he learned to, let's think for a minute. He said, what would it be? Just imagine if one day the bank manager calls up this guy and says, listen, I have good news for you. We decided in the bank that we're going to erase your whole debt, all the principal, all the interest, $1 million, you don't have to pay it. Just come in tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, sign the papers, and you're free to go. You don't owe a penny. So what would you think about a guy, if this guy, the next day, around 10 o'clock rolls around, what is this guy doing? He's going for a little tiyul around the streets, goes in to eat some pizza and that. And around 12 o'clock, he decides to make his way to the bank. And he comes there and they say, sorry, the bank manager's gone, he's not coming back. Blew the opportunity. So what would you think about a guy? See, this guy's crazy. Can you imagine? Here, his life is not a life. He owes all this money and he has a chance to erase it all. There's always a beat at 10 o'clock at the bank and he goes and eats pizza instead. What do you think of the guy's crazy? He says, we're the same. So this here a person owes a tremendous debt to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Day after day, avera after avera, another avera, another avera, all these terrible averas. And he owes all these things to Hashem. Gehenim, tzaras, death, gzeres raos, rachamon litzlan. He owes all this. And this person's going to say, what's going to be with me? What can happen? The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Tell you what, I'll give you a break. Can erase it all. I'll do tshuva. Come do tshuva, all erased. So what do? Instead of doing tshuva, go eat pizza, go here, go there. Instead of doing, here's a Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving us a golden opportunity. It's like this guy, if he would have had this golden opportunity, what does he do? There's no more fool than such a person that has the opportunity, just lets it go through his fingers. So too, we have to keep this in mind when it comes to tshuva. However, of course, our tshuva, it's not, it's lahavdil elef alfei havdalos, not like the quote-unquote tshuva of the goyim. We know the goyim have something called a confession. They go into the priest and they say what they did wrong, and so it's all over. Of course, our tshuva is much more meaningful than that. Reminds me of a story. It's a guy comes into the priest and for his confession. So he says, what happened? So he said, well, listen, Father, he said, I saw this guy and Stephen on the street, and I couldn't help myself, and I pickpocketed him, and I took his money, and I went and I bought a nice big bottle of whiskey, and which I enjoy, and I drank it. So he said, so now what? So the priest said to him, okay, here's what you do. He says, take 70 lemons, squeeze them into a glass of vinegar, and drink it. So the guy says, and then I'll have an atonement, Father? So the priest says, I don't know, I'm not so sure. But one thing's for sure, it's going to surely take that smirk off your face. Back to the matter at hand. So we said the three things one has to remember when it comes to doing tshuva for his averus. First is kibus begadu. What do we learn from that? Washing one's clothes. See, Ben Ish Chai points out that if a person has a dirt on his clothing, so the outside is a big glob of something. So when he first initial washing, we'll take off that glob. But his shirt is not totally clean yet. He's still going to have the stain that comes after that. So then he has to wash it again, and then it gets a little bit cleaner, and then wash it again. And after a number of times, the initial glob came off right away. But after that, to get the fine, what's in the material out, so that takes a lot more washing. So he says, so too, when it comes to tshuva. He says, when a person has a blatant, serious avera, so truth is, he says, that the tshuva is quicker and easier than other averas. Why? Because when a person has something that's blatant, obvious, and it's serious, so he knows it. He recognizes it right away. His charata, his regret is immediate, and he feels, oh, how could I have done such a terrible thing? He recognizes it, he regrets it, and therefore the tshuva is quick, and it's effective because it involves a lot of charata of regret, which is one of the key components of tshuva. However, if a person has a sin which it's not so obvious, it's not so clear, it's not so blatant, so as a result, the person is not so fast to do tshuva. And even if he thinks to himself, maybe this was wrong, I don't know. So his tshuva will be that type of tshuva. Okay, not such a serious tshuva. He doesn't even know or think that he did something so terrible. And of course, that's where the Yetzer Hara has a party. And really, he gets to the person and says, it's not an aver what you did, it's probably even a mitzvah. Nah. Tries to convince the person he didn't do anything wrong. So stuff got these fine averas that they need a lot of washing out. Like we said, the mashal with the clothing. Something that the glob out, the big blatant avera, that's quick and easy. But to get the stain out, that takes many washings. That symbolizes those sins which are not so easy to see. And a person has to really realize the sin and to tshuva on it. That's what we learn, he says, from the kibus begad. Next we move on to giluach se'ar. We said to cut the hair. What do we learn from hair? So there's a maisa in the Medrash Tanchuma. There's once a kohen that he was having trouble with his parnasa. So he decided to go to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laaretz to try to make a living, make ends meet. So he was getting everything ready, and one of the things he had to do, he decided to do, he was going to teach his wife, because he was leaving her behind, the laws of Maris Negaim, right? Because when the person would have tzaras, he would go to the kohen, he would have to see if the person's tamei or tar or whatever. So he's leaving, and so he thought people might come and want to know about their tzaras, so he decided to teach his wife the various laws. So he's teaching her this and that, and amongst the learning, he pointed out to her a very interesting fact. He said that the hair in a person's body, head, whatever, he says each follicle of hair, each hair has its own guma, has its own hole where it sits in and where it gets its nourishment from and that and its life from. And he said if every follicle, every hair has its own hole. He said if two hairs would get its nourishment from the same hole, that person would go blind. So we see that every single hair has its place of where it gets its nourishment from. So his wife, hearing this, said, you know, your ears should hear what your mouth has said. Here we see by, when it comes to hair, that Hashem is mefarnes, every single hair on the person's head, that Hashem mefarnes, gives its own place of where to get its parnasa from, its chiyus from. Okay? So a hair, Hashem takes care of, he's not going to take care of you. And as you have to, oh, you can't, no, I got to go here, I got to run to Chutz Laaretz, I'm not going, what's going to be, I know parnasa. So, you know, what are you running for? All right, Hashem takes care of every single hair. Of course he can take care of you, you don't have to go running away and try to find a parnasa elsewhere. Another thing we learned from here, said that, there's a Gemara in Yuma, says Amar ben Naza, he says, Ein adam nogeya b'muchan l'chavero afilu kimlo neima. That also when it comes to Parnasa, a person can't affect, touch somebody else's, what's coming to him, even kimlo neima, like the width of a hair. In other words, what's coming to a person on Rosh Hashanah, what's set, that this is going to be a person's income, that's what it's going to be. And nobody can take it away from you. What's coming to you is coming to you. And therefore, he said, the person doesn't have to go crazy when it comes to competitors and be upset. Says, oh no, you know, this guy opened up a store and he's going to take away my business and get into fights and get into arguments and because he's afraid he's going to take away his parnasa. The person doesn't have to do that. Why? Because ain't adam no geah b'machamuch muchan lo. Whatever's coming to him is coming to him, and nobody can affect it. It's a story with the Chazon Ish. He actually writes and hints to this in his Sefer Emunah Bitachon. He talks about the high level of Bitachon. There was once a fellow, name was Rav Cohn, if I remember correctly, and he had a printing shop in Bnei Brak. And at the time of the Chazon Ish, so there were not very many printing presses, printing shops around. And so he pretty much had a monopoly on the business. So he's doing quite well. So he worked, made a nice living, and he, when he had time, he went to learn, etc. So one day, lo and behold, right across the street, guy puts up a sign, printing press shop, new shop opening up, right across the street. So now, what would we do? They curse out. We said, what is going on over here? Hasagas Gvul, he can't do this. Take away Parnasa. So he's like, what do you think Rav Cohn did? When he saw this, he goes, oh. So he, once the guy opened up shop, he went over to him. And he says, Shalom, my name is Rav Cohn, I have the printing shop across this. And the guy goes, uh-oh, here it comes. You know, I was waiting for this. He's going to give it to me over the head, you know, open it up. But no, what did he say? He said, you know, you just opened up the shop, and I have, you know, many years of experience. I've been in the business, you know, a lot. I have a lot of clientele, whatever. So I've come to, I want to give you a hand, give you help you get started, you know, give you some pointers, some tips, or whatever. Plus, he said, and he takes out of his pocket a list. He says, you know, you probably don't have that much business, so much clientele, you know, because you're just starting. So here, I have a list of people that, you know, come to me. So here, why don't you take some of the clientele, you know, my thing, they'll, you know, help you get started. You should, you know, in the business or whatever. The guy was flabbergasted. He couldn't believe it. So somebody asked him, he says, how could you do that? I mean, here's a guy, you know, he's opening up a shop, you know, take away your business and then help him out, you even give him your clientele, and how could you do such a thing? So he said, that, you know, we just learned that, he said, Ein adam nogeh mashu mukhan l'chaver. What, Kadosh Baruch Hu is what? He's going to take away what's coming to me, and that guy's going to take it away from me. Nobody can take away anything from anybody. What's coming to me is coming to me, and that's it. If it's meant to be, this guy, you know, has to make me, and I don't agree. I mean, I'm not, that's what's meant to be. And Lefech, he said, you know, I'm very happy, because it's not going to affect what's coming to me. And if he takes some of the business, I'll have more time to go learn Torah. Right now I'm busy from day to night, you know, learning and working, you know, this thing, because I'm not the only printing press. So very nice. So he'll take some of the business and have no more time to learn. Take away my parnasa. Nobody can take away parnasa. What's coming is coming. And now I'll even have more time to learn. Those are of Cohen. There's a beautiful mashal given by the Chafetz Chaim in this. He says there was once a father that was sitting around the table with his sons, and he handed them out each a portion of food. So one of the kids was not such a nice boy, to say the least, and he grabs one of his brother's portion. So the boy that it was taken from, he didn't get upset. He went to the father, and he said, Abba, you know, my brother, so-and-so, he took away my portion. And, you know, I asked him for it nice. He didn't want to give it back. So, you know, I could fight with him and hit him and this and try to get it back. But I know, Abba, that you don't like when we fight and we, you know, fight with each other. You like when there's peace amongst us, the brothers. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that there was, you know, not to create any fights. So I've come to you straight. And I would like to know if you can give me, please, another portion. Because mine was taken away. So the father smiled and he said to his son, oh, of course, you know, I'm so happy, you know, that, you know, you're sensitive to my feelings and you know how I don't like fights when the boys argue, etc. And no problem. He says, I'm going to give you a nice big portion now, another one. And not only that, when the next meal comes around, I'm going to give you double and I'm not going to give him anything. For what he did. So he says Rabbi Tzraim, so too, when it comes to a person's business, right? Somebody comes along and, let's say, steals, quote-unquote, your business, takes it away. But like we said, if you, instead of fighting and arguing, you just come to Hashem and say, look, Hashem, you know, he took away my thing, and I don't want to fight. And, you know, we'll get into a fight. I know, Hashem, you don't like machloikas. So I just ask of you, please, make sure that I, you know, get what's coming to me. So Hashem says 100%. You're right. As the Tanda Ve'eliyahu says, Amar lanu Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Banai, Ahuvai, Klum Chasarti Davar, Shevekesh Mechem, Umani Mechem. Well, I'm only asking one thing of you. Shalo. To you, Oavim Zedzeh, Mechabdim Zedzeh, Velo Yimtza Bechem Avera Vegezel. All I'm asking is that you love each other, honor each other, that you shouldn't steal from each other. That's what I'm asking from you. And if you do so, wonderful. And if you don't, so the one that stole, I'm going to deal with him, and the one that didn't start up and fight, but rather accepted it, and just came to me, him I'll give Vegadol. So in fact, the Chafetz Chaim points out, so you see that the person that steals, tries to take away the business from his friend, so he says, a rasha and a tipesh. He's silly because, like we said, you can't get more than what's coming to you by taking something away from somebody else. First of all, the person you took away from, he's going to get what he's coming to. And you're not going to have more because you stole. And not only that, you're going to even have less. As the Midrash says, Mederech Erech Zuta says, Im natalta et cheina shalcha, et shalcha yitlenu mimcha. If you take what's not yours, then what you have is going to be taken from you. So you're going to end up even less than what you were supposed to have. And not only that, you also have on your head the vera of stealing. So you're going to not only have what you have, you're going to lose what you have and not even receive what's really supposed to be coming to you. And on that, you have the Avera. So he said the person's a Russian, a Tipesh, if he steals from other people. Saw a story once, this reminded me, from Kobe Levy. He says that in Yerushalayim, there was a man, his name was Label Morgenstern, and he had four sons. These four sons, they grew up, and each and every one of them somehow was not so interested in the world of Torah that much, and they got involved with business. This one opened this type of business, this one that type of business. One was in the real estate, one was in had a store, etc. The four sons. However, it wouldn't be so bad, but what was bad was that they decided that they're not going to get along with each other. And constantly bickering. All these four brothers are fighting with each other, and this one's no good, and that one's no good, and Lashon Hara, and Rechilas, and constantly the four brothers nonstop arguing with each other. Machloikas. And of course, it's very difficult for parents to see that their children are fighting with each other, and it was very, very hard on them. Eventually, the mother died first, and the father died, and that was it. The four sons, though, they all each had a parnasa at the time, but it was at this time in Eretz Yisrael when the war broke out between the English and the Turks, and as a result, it caused a tremendous depression, and many, many people, as well as these four boys, they had lost their parnasa. So here they were, they're all very poor. One day, the dayan of the town comes to them and says, listen, I have something to tell you. All you four boys have to come to my office at such and such a time tomorrow. I have to speak to you. So they weren't so crazy about being in the same room with each other, but okay, the dayan called them in. So they all came there, sat down. They're all curious what the dayan wanted. So he said, listen, he said, your father entrusted with me, he gave me his tzava, his will, his last will. And that I have in this one envelope. And what he's giving, wants to give to you, I have in this other envelope. But he asked me first to read to you the tzava in the first envelope and then take it from there. Fine. So he opens up the envelope. And he says, it's written to this, to be said by the dayan, which he's doing, and to his sons, his four sons. So, Bekitzer, he says something to the effect of, boys, you've, my whole life, you've caused me nothing but tsaras, me and your mother, with all your fighting and arguing and machloikas and etc. But you know what? I'm willing to be moichel. And I decided that, look the other way, what was, and I'm going to leave you this tremendous sum of money. However, I want you as a group to decide how much money to give to Staka of this money, and then and which tzedakah to give it to, you give it to poor people, tell me the chachamim, etc. And after that, divide out the rest. But first I want you to decide how much tzedakah and what tzedakah to give with it, and then after that, the rest of the money. And, okay, etc. And then he signed the end of the letter. So the dayan said, okay, so what do you boys decide? Oh, so that's all he needed. This one said, what? I wanted this much money. No, I don't know why this one. We should only give this. And again, the whole fighting started again. Anyways, after a few minutes of fighting and arguing, finally the youngest son gets up and he says, Raboisai, Achai, Berei, my brothers. He says, let's stop for a second. He says, what are we doing here? He says, isn't this ridiculous? Always fighting. Look how much tsar we cause for our parents, as you can see from the letter. And enough already. Isn't it enough of the bickering? We have to put an end to this. He says, and as a result, I would like to make the following suggestion. That we take all the money and give it to tzedakah. All of it. We should not take any of it. We should take all the money, and it should be le'ilui nishmas, our father and mother, and give it all to tzedakah. That's what I propose, and we should stop with all this fighting. All of a sudden, there's silence in the room. And, each of the brothers got a little bit embarrassed or whatever, looking down, and they broke down. And they said, you're right. And they all started crying, and they all started hugging each other and kissing each other, and they said, that's it, then we're making up, and no more fighting, and yes, we're going to give the money, all the money to tzedakah, etc. So finally, when they came to that decision, a lofty decision, they said, okay, now the envelope, please. So the Dayan took the second envelope, and he handed it to them. So the oldest boy takes it, opens it up, puts his hand in, and he pulls out a 5 lira bill, which was worth nothing. It was not even at that time, the government wasn't there anymore, it was not even worth the paper it was written on. It was worth absolutely nothing. So they just, their mouths were open. And then one of the boys picked up the bill, and he looked at it, and he saw his father's writing on it. His father wrote something. And he wrote the following. He says, my sons, my dear sons, Uma ani mevakesh mikem. He says, what do I ask of you? Shetiyu avim zetze, v'etiyu mechabdim zetze, v'etiyu yireim zetze, Abba. He says, all I'm asking is that you should love each other, and you should honor each other, fear each other. Signed, Abba. And in fact, that's what happened. Finally, the last part of the tshuva, which we learned from the Metzorah, purification of the Metzorah, is we said tefillah b'mayim. So what do we learn from Teufelin? So he says that water, it represents humility, right? Because we know water always flows down to its lowest point. So that's symbolizes humility. If a person wants to be a real Baal Tshuva, so he has to be humble. If he's haughty, if he thinks he knows everything, he's great. Huh? So then he doesn't do Tshuva. A real Baal Tshuva is somebody who's lowly, who he feels that he's a nobody, and has a lot of humility. That's a true Baal Tshuva, and that's what Hashem really loves. The Farish of Pasuk and Tehillim say, Zivche Elokim, Ruach Nishbara. What are the sacrifice that Hashem wants? A Ruach Nishbara, a broken spirit. Leiv Nishbar V'nidke, Elokim Lo Tivze. A heart which is broken and lowly, that Hashem doesn't despise. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants a low heart, lowly heart. As a side, somewhere else, the Ben Yishchai says a very nice thing. We also learn from this week's Sedra that a tefillah has to be in a mikveh that has water that's an amount of 40 sa', amount of water. So Chazal learned it out from the pasuk. It says v'rachatz b'mayim es kol b'saro. So you learn from the fact. Why did it say kol b'saro? So you learn out from here, it has to be enough water that a person could put his entire body into at one time. Kol misaro. And Chachamim figured out that that's 40 sa'. It's the minimum amount of water the whole average body could go into. However, Ben Yishchai is very nice. You can see it actually in the Pasuk itself. How so? Because why you'd have to say v'rachatz b'mayim es kol misaro? What else are you going to go? No, v'rachatz b'soda. Of course you're going to go into water, right? So why do you have to say b'mayim? So he says, because mayim, the word mayim can be split up into mem yud, and then mem, right? Mem yud is mei. Mei, some mei means water. And mem is 40. So mei, mem, 40, water of 40. You have to have 40 sa. V'rachatz b'mei mem, in 40 sa, et kol b'sara. So you can see it in the pasuk itself. So anyway, this idea of humility, which leads to tshuva, there's a beautiful maisa brought down from the Rebbe Mipashischa. He says once there was a Yehudi that he was a tailor, chayat, and he was very successful. He was very talented, and he got all the special jobs, making the suits for the personalities, etc. One day, the paritz, who was the goy that was in charge of the whole Azor, the whole area, he was he in chutzars. He came back and he brought these this very very expensive material. And he wanted to be made into a suit. So his advisor said, why don't you go to this Jew? He's supposed to be an excellent tailor, and I'm sure he'll do a great job. Make the suit for you. So he says, okay, great. So he calls him in, tells the Jew, here's this very, very expensive material, as you can see, and I want you to make the suit for me. So, can you do so? He says, 100%, why not? Takes the measurements, this and that, whatever, and he gets to work. So, no sooner did he left the paritz's place, he was filled with, gaiva, haughtiness. I look at the paritz, he got me to make his suit. And as he was making it, every time somebody walked in, he says, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm making the paritz suit. He gave me the job. And he was bragging to everybody. Everybody knew, his friends and family. He was constantly bragging of he got the job of making the suit for the paritz. Okay. Came that finally he finished it. He wrapped it up nicely. And he comes to the paritz's palace and he says, okay, I have your suit tonight. He says, oh, wonderful. Good. So he hands it to him nicely, fancy wrapped. He opens it up, takes it out, looks at it, and he says, oh, disgusting. He says, this is what you just what you made for me? You call this a suit? You call this a royal suit that I'm supposed to wear? This is, and he starts cursing him out, and he's angry, and he's going crazy. And he takes the suit, he throws it back at him, he says, take it back, I don't want this, this is what you do, and not only that, I'm not going to pay you for your work, I'm going to charge you for, ruining this material that I gave you, and this expensive material, and you have to pay me back every cent for this material that I have to pay, and get out of here, whatever. Anyway, you can imagine that you had left, and he was broken. Here he thought he made his nice suit, and instead he got the opposite response, and not only that, he's not getting paid, now he owes the money, and he was crying, and then he was beside himself. So he just went home and was crying in his bed. So finally, when he calmed down a little bit, he decided to go to the Rebbe Mipashischa, and asked him, oh, what's going on? So he goes to the Rebbe, just crying, what should I do? Look what happened, what should I do? So the Rebbe heard, and he says, listen, he says, if you want my advice, he says, go home, take the suit that that you made, the paritz, take it apart, like out just all the stitches, and then re-sew it up. Make it, re-sew it again. But the same, don't make anything different, just take it apart and put it back together again, that's all. So he says, what? Well, what's that going to do? He says, listen, want my advice? I gave you my advice. So he had left the Rebbe. He didn't know what to do. What's that going to help? He didn't like the suit. He was going to read. But he said, look, what I got to lose, see what happens. So he does exactly what Rebbe said. Went home, took apart the suit, all the stitches, and then just re-sewed it again, exactly the same suit as before. Put it in a package, came to the paritz. He says, paritz, listen, I have a suit for you now. She goes, oh yeah, okay. So he takes the suit, the package, opens it up, sees the suit. He goes, psst, wow. He goes, now that's a suit. That's a suit. Wow, that's beautiful. Wow. And he puts it on and he says, wow, this is gorgeous. I love it. That, wow, you're unbelievable. And he praises them left and right. Oh, I'm okay. And not only that, he gives this huge sum of money for making this beautiful suit for him and he pays them, tremendously, whatever. Anyways, now of course he is a different person, but he goes back to the Rebbe and he says, oh, I don't understand. What happened? I didn't. How come when I bought the suit of first time, and then now I said, so the Rebbe answered him and he said like this. He said, the Pasuk says, Velanavim yitein chen. He says that chen, grace, is given to somebody who is an anav, who is humble. Okay? And when you made the first suit, the first time, so you were bragging, you were showing off, you were haughty, you know, and saying, telling everybody. So this is the opposite. If Hashem gives chayin to humble people, then Hashem gives the opposite, lack of chayin to those that are not humble. So then, therefore, when you brought the suit to the paritz, you brought it as a haughty person, so you found no favor in his eyes. You had no chayin, because you were haughty. And therefore, he was upset at you, etc. That's why I told you to, after, when you came home, then you were, when you came to me, you were broken already. You're not haughty anymore. You're broken, you're crying, you're, you know, thing. So now, oh, so I said, now, at this, if you make the suit, in this matzav, as being, you know, humble, and, you know, feeling broken, so that is gonna have, now you're gonna find favor. You're gonna have lanavi miten chayin. You're gonna have chayin. That's why I told you to remake the suit, and that's what you did, and now when you brought it as a humble person, so now you found favor in his eyes. So too, therefore it's the same thing when it comes to tshuva. So we said, we learned from the water, which goes to the lowest place, and that represents humility, which is one of the key elements of tshuva. And that's the idea that lanavi mitein chayin. That if a person is humble and he really does a soul searching and does tshuva honestly with through humility, so Kadosh Baruch Hu loves such a person because he finds favor in the eyes of Hashem. And just like the paritz, which greatly rewarded this person, so too Hashem greatly rewards those people that do tshuva through this through being humble. So Mizrat Hashem should take these lessons that we learned, the lessons of the washing of the clothing, lessons of the hair, lessons of the tefillah b'mayim, and take them to heart, learn from them, and to lead us all to do tshuva shlema, and through this tshuva, we should all be zoicha to be a skol tzedek, b'mehirav yameinu, amen.